2. It was on Wednesday. So if I knew that, you can sing for me. Last week I was here on Sunday, but I forgot to tell you that it was my birthday. So I'm happy to be here to talk about something special. I know that when we come on Sunday is for sharing the word of God. It's what we used to do. And now we are talking about spiritual warfare, which is very important for every Christian to know. Last time it was Stuart who introduced it. And after his preaching, I said that, okay, next week I will continue with the same subject. But today I just want to tell someone that we are already in victory when we are fighting in this world. You are not fighting for the victory, but you are already in victory. And you'll see it along this preaching. So, we have to know that the first couple, or the first people God created in garden, they have got spiritual battle. When the devil came to attack them, to change their mind, to put confusion in their heart, that they can disobey to God's will. And actually is what the devil tried to do among us. But in different ways, he's fighting against us. I'd like to read maybe the first verse in the book of Genesis. As I said, that this is the first time we see that the devil tried to fight against human being. When God created us, he created us on his own image. And as a God image, normally you have to be like God in everything. Because at this time, God has put his spirit inside us. And the devil just come to destroy everything. That's why I can see at the beginning, God came in the garden and was looking for the man. It not means that God didn't see the man, but he was looking at the man to be aware of the state of sin which came inside him. And the sin separates man and God. And now I have to learn something about this spiritual battle, because all the time, sometimes we are struggling in our life for so many things, and we don't know that some things which we are fighting for is the devil who is provoking it, or who is putting it in our life. Here in the book of Genesis 3, I'll read verse 14 and 15. The Bible says, "So the Lord God said to the snake, 'Because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and all wild animals. You will crawl on your belly and you will eat dust all the day of your life.'" But in verse 15 it says, "And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head and you will strike his heel." And today there are so many people who have experienced this, what is written in this verse. The devil continue, or Satan continue to, he said that, "And you will strike his heel." Continue to strike them. But now, today, we want to learn the truth from the Bible. The first thing we have to know that there is two kingdoms. the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of light. This is what you have to know. It's not from only at that time of first human being, but it exists until now. As a Christian, you have to know that there is two kingdoms. Unfortunately, for children of God, they think that when they are coming to church, it's just to listen to the word of God, to dance, to sing, and to go home to sleep. But they forget that the devil is there, is fighting against them. So many things today we are facing in our life. So many difficulties we are facing in our life. We have to know that we are under the battle. We are fighting with our enemies, who is the devil. And here, in the first picture, we have here two opposing kingdoms. Satan has a highly organized kingdom. In that kingdom, there are various areas and level of authority. The headquarters of this kingdom are the heavenly region. So, this will find it in the book of Ephesians, chapter 6. Because last time when Stuart gave us this verse, he was talking more about spiritual armor, spiritual weapon, which is very important for every Christian. I think that I will speak about it a little bit. But here I was looking for everyone to know that there is still two kingdoms in this world. We cannot see it. But as a children of God, you have to know that there is kingdom of darkness. And the devil is the one who is leading it. And if you want to see it very well, to understand how it is, we will read now in the book of Matthew 12, 22 to 28. Matthew. And in this text, we will find that they are talking about two kingdoms. And I still keep my finger in this page of Genesis 3 because I will be back there very soon. Matthew 12, yeah. Then they brought him a demon-possessed man who was blind and mute. And Jesus healed him so that he could both talk and see. 23. All the people were astonished and said, "Could this be the son of David?" But when the Pharisees heard this, they said, "It is only by Beelzebul, the prince of demons, that this fellow drives out a demon." Jesus knew their thought and said to them, "Every kingdom divided against itself will be ruined. And every city or household divided against itself will not stand. If Satan drive out Satan, he is driven against himself. How then can his kingdom stand?" Here they are talking about the kingdom of the devil. The devil, Satan, cannot drive out his own children, demons. He cannot drive them out. This is what Jesus wants to explain here. And 28. "But if it's by the Spirit of God that I drive out demon, then the kingdom of God has come upon you." So we understand that there is two kingdoms. The kingdom of the devil, who is Satan, who is against children of God, and the kingdom of God. And Jesus, this is what I wrote there, Jesus here mentioned another kingdom of God. And we have to know, as a children of God, when we received Jesus in our life as a Savior, we are not belonging to this earth again, but Jesus, through Jesus, He took us in the kingdom of God. You and I, we are in the kingdom of God. I think that you say amen. You and I, we are in the kingdom of heaven, in the kingdom of God. At this place, I said that the headquarters of this kingdom, the kingdom of Satan, is in the heavenly region. So we have to understand that his kingdom didn't establish it on this earth, but is somewhere. That's why, if we can go back to this text they give us in Ephesians 6, he said that we are not fighting against the blood, we are not fighting against the flesh, but we are fighting with some power which is in heavenly realms. This power is not here on the earth like that, but they can act within people who are in this earth, but their place, their headquarters is up. Yes, thank you very much. For our struggle is not against the flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the power of this dark world, and against the spiritual force of evil in the heavenly realms. They are talking about heavenly realms. Maybe you not understand how is it working, but today I was looking at you to learn something, that all the time when you are praying, don't think that your prayer is to always go straight to God. This is what you have to know as a Christian. Daniel was a child of God. I can take one example in the Bible for Daniel. Daniel was a child of God, but the Bible shows us that the first day he decided to pray, God heard his prayer. But when the angel was coming to give him the answer, the Bible showed that there was some kind of resistance. And Daniel could not get the answer at good time. Until 21 days, he was praying and fasting. This is showing that sometimes when you are praying, you can expect the answer today, but in this heavenly realms, there is a fighting. The angel wants to come to you to give you what you need, but we still have problem. That's why as a Christian, we have to be aware to know that all the time there is fighting in these heavenly realms. I think that we can read it in book of, it's very important for me, and then we'll be back to Colossians. Daniel, I'm sorry, chapter 10. We can read first the verse 20. We can start from 12, please. 12. Sorry. 12. Verse 12. Then he continued, "Do not be afraid, Daniel, since the first day that you set your mind to gain understanding and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come in response to them." And what happened? But the prince of the Persian kingdom resisted me 21 days. Then Michael, or one of the chief princes, came to help me because I was detained there with the king of Persia. My brother and sister, we have to know that the devil can use anyone. The devil is a spirit, and he needs the body to work. And here they show that the prince of Persia resisted to this angel who was looking to come to give the answer to Daniel. This is what I said, that sometimes we are praying, but if you see that the answer is not coming, it's not only God who doesn't like to give you the answer, but sometimes, I don't say that often, but I said that sometimes it's the devil who blocks our answer. This is what they show us in this place. We can continue. Now I have come to explain to you what will happen to your people in the future. Daniel was looking the direction for the future, for the people. This is the meaning of his prayer. He was looking to get direction. Sometimes you are looking direction for something, for some project, for your life, for your family, but you don't get the answer straight. You can get this kind of problem like Daniel. It's not something which was material, just to get direction, but they show us that there was a resistance that Daniel cannot get what he needs. That's why I said that as a Christian, we have to be aware. We have to understand that the devil is fighting against us all the time. This is what is written in the book of Peter. We'll see it later. But I was talking about two kingdoms. These two kingdoms exist in this world. And as a children of God, we have to know it. Sometimes when you are talking about, I know someone told me, asking me, his pastor, asking me in Finland, said that it looks like the devil is working more in Africa than in Europe. I said, how you can say something like that? There are so many people here, the devil attacked them. That's why I can see some people, they have so many problems. The devil is still working. He attacked children of God. His kingdom is in this earth. I would like to tell you that there are some sickness which is among the people of God, but is not coming from God, or is not coming from bacteria, but is coming from the devil. Maybe you will be surprised, but I'm just saying that there are some sickness among us which is coming from the devil. It can be something you neglect in your life and say that no, this, I think that's because I'm working too much, that's why I have this problem in my back. But it can be the devil who puts inside you. And I know that one apostle who said that the angel of Satan was put in my flesh, that I cannot boast myself. This is Paul who said like that. He said that three times I prayed, and three times God said to me that my grace is enough for you. He was praying. But in his body there was something he didn't like. He prayed that it can be off from his body. But there's one thing which happened in the book of Luke, chapter 13. I think that you can read it. We'll see that there is one sickness or this problem of back. It happened for one woman. She was there and received the answer of Jesus. Luke 13. We can read for more. From 10. I'm sorry. On Sabbath, Jesus was teaching. Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues, and a woman was there who had been crippled, I don't know how to pronounce it, crippled, by a spirit for 18 years. by the Spirit for 18 years. She was bent over and could not strengthen up at all. Just to stop on this verse. This woman who was bent, she cannot stretch his back. Can you imagine that it was very easy for her to get married? You say that, oh, of course she can get married, but I think that there is some obstruction for her because she was like that. In the church, in the synagogue for so many years, but no one knew that it was bad spirit. It was the devil who was doing it in this woman. She was there. That's why sometimes there are some sickness among us, between us. You can say that if you don't have a revelation, because we need God to open our eyes for so many things, that you can understand that this is not normal for this person. The bad things is that when you believe that everything is normal. The lady was there. I think that people love her too much. Sometimes they come to hug her, oh, our sister. But she have got problem. She was like that in the church, in synagogue, all the time. Who can give her work? Because she have already problem. She cannot work. So the devil have put it inside her that she can miss so many things in her life. I think that you can carry on with this verse, the verse. When Jesus saw her, he called her forward and said to her, "Woman, you are set free from your infirmity." This is what Jesus wants to say to someone today. He wants to say it to someone today. For a long time, nobody understands your situation. But when Jesus sees you today, he wants to say this word to you. You are set free from your infirmity. He said that you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. This is what Jesus said. If you know the truth, you will look to know why some situation come to you in your life. We have battle. We are fighting against the kingdom of darkness. And you can carry on. 13. Then he put his hand on her, and immediately she strengthened up and praised God. I believe that you'll praise the Lord today. God is going to do something new in your life. Just look at your situation. Just find that it's not normal for you to be in this kind of situation. You are struggling with some sickness. And you found for you, you said that the doctor says that I will live with this all my life. Until you change your mind to understand that Jesus has come to set you free. Amen. And then it will happen to you. Can you carry on? I just wanted to see the origin of this sickness. It's there in this text. Indignant because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, the synagogue leader said to the people, "There are 6 days for what? So come on the healed and be healed on those days, not on the Sabbath." For them, Sabbath it was very important than human being for the life of this lady. There are some rules in the church. There are some rules among people which is very important than the healing of someone. But hear what Jesus is doing now, he's saying now, on verse 15. The Lord answered him, "You hypocrites, doesn't each of you on the Sabbath untie your ox or donkey from the stall and lead it out to give it water. And 16, then should not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan, they are talking about Satan, whom Satan has kept bound for 18 long years. Is Satan who kept her in this situation for 18 long years? Be set free on the Sabbath day from what bound her. This is very important for us to know that our life is very important than everything. It's very important than everything. And Jesus came for our life. The devil, his kingdom, he's stealing what belongs to children of God. This is what is written in the book of John 10, verse 10. He said that the devil, the thief, come to steal. I've never seen one thief who come to bless people. He'll come, oh no, I come in your house to bless you. No, the thief never come to bless. He come to steal. He come to destroy. He come to take what we have. He come to steal your peace. He come to steal your joy. He come to steal your children. He come to steal even love you have in your heart. He steal everything good you have in your life. But Jesus came to give us life, and what kind of life? Very abundant life. This is what Jesus came to do in this earth, to give us life. We were all, at the time, we were in the order of darkness, all of us. Nobody can say that he born in this world straight. I would like to read in book of, we'll read one verse in book of Acts of Apostles, 26 verse 18. Then should not this, oh no, to open their eyes. Jesus come to open our eyes. If you are spiritually blind, you can ask God, God, open now my eyes. I want to see. If your children are addicted to something, you can now pray, God, open my eyes. I want now my children to be set free. You come here to set free my children, and say that to open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light. We have to move from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, so that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me. We are sanctified. We are children of God, but now we have to move from darkness to be in light. How we can be there is just when we decide ourselves to accept what Jesus has done for us on the cross. Jesus has given his life for you and I. We'll read now this verse in the Colossians. I think that's Colossians 1. That's to let you know that your kingdom is not here. You are in the kingdom of God. You and I, we are in the kingdom of God. Colossians 1:12, and giving joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. The kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves. You are not in the kingdom of darkness again. You and I, we are now in the kingdom of God, the kingdom of light. This is what we have to put in our mind. When the devil comes, he attacks us through our mind. That's what he said, that we have to wear the helmet of salvation. To be sure that we have been saved by Jesus. When he comes to say something to you, that said, no, I've been saved. I was set free from this kind of bondage. This is what we have to say. We have to declare the word of God. We have to stand in faith. That's why he's talking about, in Ephesians, they are talking about all this. Yeah. Thank you, my sister, for this. Stand firm, then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist. What is the belt of truth? And you know that Jesus, he is the truth. The truth is the word of God. Stand with this belt. Wear it all the time. Walk in the truth. And after that, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. Talk about Jesus everywhere you go. And the devil will never touch you. Everywhere you go, talk about Jesus. How many you are talking about Jesus per year? You are talking to your friend. Where you are walking, are you talking about Jesus? Or you said, we are not authorized to talk about Jesus in our workplace. Me, I used to talk about Jesus. If you come around me, you are near to me, I'm talking about Jesus all the time. And everybody knows that I'm talking about Jesus. You are in the darkness. You are, I don't know. When they come to me, they know that sometimes I just show them like that. When I show this, they know that I'm talking about Jesus. There was someone who was disturbing me too much. He doesn't believe in God. All the time when he saw me, he does show me his symbol like that. But me, I used to show him the cross of Jesus. Talk about him. And the second picture, we can see the second picture quickly. Strategy, no? Yeah, the strategy of the flesh. Strategy of Satan. The world and the flesh. Thank you. Satan also through the world. We have to know that Jesus, the word of God said that we should not love the world. So many people love the world. And the devil know how to walk within it. John 5:19. You can put the verse because this is not the verse what I wrote there. Please. There are so many verses today. This is the spiritual battle. There are so many verses you have to read. You have to learn so many things. John. Jesus gave them this answer. Very truly, I tell you, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can do only what he sees his Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son... No. It's not a correct verse I've wrote there. Please, you can go back to the picture, please. I said that Satan, maybe it's 1 John 5:19. Satan, yeah. Jesus gave them this answer. No. 1 John. We know that we are children of God, and that the whole world is under the control of the evil one. All this world. There are some people, I don't know, by their feeling, because they love Jesus, they say, no, the devil cannot be the one who controls this world. No, this is what the word of God is saying to us. We have to know it. Say that, and that the whole world is under the control of the evil one. All this world. It's the devil who controls everything. And you should not love the world. That's why you should not love the world. can go back to the picture, please. Peter, 2 Peter 5:8. Be sober. Be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as running lion, he's walked among us, not very far. Our adversary, the devil, he's near to us all the time. In 2 Corinthians 11:14-14, they are showing us that he can change himself to angel of light. He can come to you. The devil will not come. Will never come to you with tail and with this long corn here. No, the devil will come sometimes like the angel of light. When he likes, he wants to talk to you, he will talk nicely, but you have to get the spirit of discernment to understand this is not God he's talking through this person. It can be something good. And you need this discernment of spirit. In book of 1 Chronicle, I think that we'll read it. We can read it. Satan rose up against Israel and incited David to take a census of Israel. If you read this thing, it's not bad. In all countries, they are doing census. But they say that it's Satan who rose this idea. He gave it to David, that he have to do the census of Israel. So David said to Joab and the commanders of troops, go and count the Israelites from Beersheba to Dan. Then report back to me so that I may know how many there are. It was not bad things. Just to go and go do the census. We are doing it until now. In our countries, we are doing it. Here in England, they are doing it. Everywhere, people are doing it, which is good things. But they show us that it was Satan who put this mind inside David. And if you continue with it, you'll see how people was destroyed because of this sin, because of David's deed. God came to him and said that, why did you accept to do this? Sometimes God leaves us in this kind of situation. That's to see our heart, if we are close to him. We have to get this spirit of discernment all the time to understand that sometimes some things, even it can be good, but maybe it's not God who allowed it in our life. Everything which is good is not important for us. We don't have to accept everything. Certain activities are violent in the world, but they are always directed against God, against his plan, against his people. Satan afflicts and tempts believers in the world. The verse is there if you want to read. Satan incites persecution of believers by the world. Satan tried to prevent believers from effective Christian service. He is doing so many things in so indifferent way. You can wake up in the morning and they say that, oh, why are you going today in the church? You can stay home, look at outside, there is very nice sun. You see the way he's working. And you put your barbecue there, you start to do your barbecue, you refuse, you feel inside that you cannot go to church. This is what the enemy is doing all the time. Sometimes when you say that, no, it's normal. No, it's not normal. Sometimes you are at home, you want to come to church, you are looking for another foot of your shoe, you don't find it. It's under the chair. You say that, no, it's normal, it's that maybe children who put it there. Satan, no. He knows very well. He is working in different ways in the world. Persecution for children of God. In some countries, they don't allow the people to learn what Jesus has done for them. Until now, And the third picture, I would like to go quickly. We have to. Satan works through the flesh, our flesh. This is what happened all the so many times, our flesh. And if Satan cannot blind your mind and keep you from accepting the truth of the gospel, then he tried to keep you in bondage. The bondage to keep you somewhere. You are so close to something that you have to stop to doing it in your flesh, in our flesh. When I'm talking in flesh, it's all of us. Sometimes you feel, you have some feeling which is closer to your soul, is not good. And it's devil who is doing it. To the flesh, after you receive the gospel, fleshly lust war against the soul. Satan uses the flesh to affect the mind all the time. There are some feelings. The flesh can work in different ways. When you get angry, that's a small thing like that. Maybe you get angry and say, oh, my father was like that. Or this, you see, this is our family anger. There are some people, they say that our family, all of us, and they are very proud for it. No, this is our anger. My father, my grandfather was like that. This is the flesh. That small thing, you start to talk, you never stop. And for some people, they said that before for me to stop, I have to break something. She take even the cup, she throw it to the hall and say that, no, now I feel good. She can get something, he tore it, she said that, no, now I feel good. No, no, this is bad spirit. You can understand it. If all the time in your family there is kind of this kind of thing, this is the flesh. But where people are set free, if something happens, you will say that, no, no, you don't understand. Because Jesus came to set us free, even from anger. I don't know if here there is some people are very angry, they get angry easily. God wants to set you free today. The flesh. Satan used the flesh to affect the mind. Flesh need to be sometimes weak. To be tired all the time. The flesh. Sometimes you give some reason. No, I'm very tired. But you know yourself that the reason you give is not normal. Let us go to church. I'm very tired. Let us pray. I'm very tired. This week I worked too much. I'm very tired. This is the flesh. But the Bible said something. It said that, watch and pray. Because our body is very weak, but spirit is strong. Is it true? Watch and pray. This is what the Bible asks us. Watch and pray. Can you watch and pray? Can you ask God to give you the power when the devil come and want to use your flesh? Your flesh sometimes like to be somewhere else than to be in the church. This is our flesh. Our flesh likes to eat too much. When they say that you have to fast, you don't like to fast. The first thing we did in the man, human being, did like a sin, is or just to eat. To eat. What God said that don't eat, but the man ate it. And Satan used the flesh to cause you to reap corruption. Corruption means so many things. He's writing a book of Galatians 6 and 8. And we are going to finish with the last picture. The basis of our victory, because we said that we are walking in victory. Everyone who is a Christian, really Christian, have to know that you are not fighting for the victory, but you have to know that Jesus has fought for you. It's like someone who is doing boxing. He is fighting for 12 rounds. He's fighting all the time. You see that his blood is coming out all the time. You see that the man is tired. But when he just, they said that it's him who won the battle. He took the cup of this battle. He gave it to his wife. You see that the man has fighting too much. But at the end, he took the cup, he gave it to his wife. This is what Jesus did for us on the cross. He fought for us, but the victory, he gave it to the church. We are the church of God, and we have to accept that this cup or this victory, God has given it to us. All the time, if you are fighting in a spiritual life, you have to know that the victory is already given to you. In the book of Colossians 2, I would like to read this because it's very important. We'll read the book of Colossians 2, 13 to 15. Colossians 2. When you were dead in your sins and in the circumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins. And having cancelled the charge of our legal and debtedness, which stood against us and condemned us, he has taken it away, nailing it to the cross. And having disarmed the power of authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross of Jesus. The cross of Jesus. The victory has been given to everyone by the cross of Jesus. Do you realize that Jesus has given you the victory in everything? Even you feel that you are sick, you have prayed too much, I don't say that God cannot do something for you. I just want to tell you that everything was finished on the cross. Jesus has done everything for you and I. Today, when we have just to be aware and to pray more. This is what you have to do. This is offensive armor, to pray and to use of the word of God, to use the promises of God. This is what we have to do, because on the cross we have got everything. We don't need to fight for something else. Everything we need, we have got it on the cross. Amen. I know that maybe you have struggled for so many times for something in your life. Maybe for your children. Maybe for yourself. But I would like you to believe that God is on to do something in your life now. He wants to heal you. He wants to give you the answer. Even you have got this resistance for so many years, but God wants to tell you that today is your day. Today is your day. The devil is there. He's fighting against us. He wants us to stay where we are. We cannot move forward, but today is your day. Jesus wants to set you free from something. We'll stand up and we are going to pray now. There are so many things to talk about spiritual warfare, but I think that if God like, next time we can talk about something else. But today I would like you to pray. Just pray now for your family. Pray for your children. Ask God to set you free from something. There are some people, just some word which is coming from their mouth is not correct word. To lie too much. You can ask God, God, set me free from lying. Set me free from this sickness. You are struggling inside your heart. Maybe sometimes you come to church, nobody knows. Like this woman, nobody knows that it was the devil who did it in her life. But you can pray. Just say something to you, God. Call now the power of the blood of Jesus to clean you, to give you the power you need. The Bible shows us that we have got this victory through the word of our testimony and the blood of Jesus. Yes, Jesus came in this earth to save us, but we have to know that the battle is still there. Don't feel guilty in your mind all the time. Wear now this helmet of salvation and pray with all your heart. Say something to you, God. Say now, God, I need you in my life. I need you. Come now to rescue me. And God is going to do something for your children, for your life. All the time you want to justify what you are doing, but God wants you now just to ask Him to come to rescue you. Say, God, come now, rescue me. This woman who was bent all the time, the Bible doesn't show that she was praying, but the Bible shows that she was in the synagogue. You are in the church. Pray now. Say something to you, God. Say, God, I need you. Come now and touch me. Come now and touch me. Come now and heal me by your blood. You are sick. I would like you to touch the part of your body where you feel that it hurts you. And our Lord, who is here, is going to heal you. It's just a problem of faith. Believe in the word of God. Touch the part of your body where you feel that it hurts you. And God is going to do something right now. God, touch now your children. The one who is sick at this place, Father. I ask you to heal him. I ask you to heal her, O Lord. Touch your children right now, Lord. And give now healing. Give now answer to all their problems. I believe you are still working. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.